Big thanks to our crew back in our Half Street studios today, Vic and Toby, keeping things going smoothly in D.C. while we're out and about having fun with our feet up in Fairfax. The football team in town is outstanding. They've got a bright future. It's time for you to think about yours. Our exclusive sponsor will help you do that. The law firm Condori and Murrah. They will get you squared away with a last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today, kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount, kmlawyers.com. It's not a fun thing, but it's one of those things, if you start getting married, having kids, you just got to do the grown-up stuff.
Well, I haven't gone through it on both ends of that, to your point, right? Both with adults, my parents and grandparents and all these sorts of things, and all the legal wranglings and problems, even when you think everything is written down just fine. This is something you absolutely have to do. I learned that lesson, again, through folks that came before me, parents, grandparents. You got to do it, and these guys make it easy.
5:30 today, I want to discuss whether or not this game's going to be a referendum. I think you and I agree on this, but I want to take the temperature of the audience with you. Aren't we past the point where if Washington has a letdown spot against the Giants or loses a football game, where we say, well, maybe they aren't as good as we think? Isn't that just a good team that gets upset, a la the Ravens with the Browns last week, or you know, one of these good teams that loses to bad teams occasionally in this league? We will talk about that coming up at 5:30. But let's go through all of the games on the slate for this weekend, give you some of the key storylines around the NFL as we get ready for Week 9 football. And we will begin with the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, in a lot of ways, Danny, is playing for the rest of its season already. They're in a bad spot record-wise. Dallas is in trouble. Atlanta's in a really, really good spot in that division. If they win, they're the front runners. They're going to be probably minus 240, 300 favorites to win the South going into next week. They could distance themselves a little bit.
Yeah, there's a few of these games this week. Like, what kind of season are we going to have? That's what happens when you kind of get to the midpoint and teams start to separate or go the opposite way, whatever's the opposite of separate is. And for Dallas, they're trying to salvage it. The Wolves are at the door. Everything's swirling. It's not very good down there. The vibes aren't great. Everyone's pissed off after three straight 12-win seasons. Doesn't look like it's happening this year. Atlanta, on the other hand, as you said, they're good, but they're not great, right? They're top that division at this point at 5-3, but you know they're certainly a flawed group. But all of a sudden, you could look up and they're 6-3. That feels a lot different to me. It's more legitimate.
I don't think Dallas is good. I'm also not sure they're as bad as they've been playing, though. So I'll be fascinated to see what happens with them and the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. Going through all the games on your Sunday slate, let's go to 5-3 Denver, 5-3 Baltimore. I love this game. This is Broncos-Ravens. Ravens normally get up for games against really good teams in the conference. Denver, all of a sudden, is frisky.
That's exactly what they are.
The Broncos look like a playoff team. Bo Nix just won Rookie of the Month, took out Jaden Daniels for Rookie of the Month with 9 touchdowns over his last 4 games. You could split his season in half between when he stunk up the joint and when he's been very, very good. Meanwhile, Baltimore with bad losses to Vegas, bad loss to Cleveland we mentioned. They should probably be 7-1 right now.
9.5-point favorites. It kind of tells you that I'm not really sure Vegas is buying this Denver renaissance.
I kind of like Denver in points in that game.
It's not crazy to me on a couple of fronts. One, because Denver's playing decently well, kind of to your point. They've beaten some bad teams, but you know, basically a lot of folks are saying, yeah, who cares, right? That's adorable. You're winning 5 of 6 out of kind of the worst this league has to offer. Baltimore's already had their, what are you doing, a couple different times over, losses here. They can't really afford that many more in a crowded AFC. They've beaten some good teams. We've seen them at their best, and that's really, really tough. But, man, oh, man, those couple head-scratching losses, I expect them to beat Denver.
Dolphins, Bills, and Buffalo. The Bills are 6-2. They look like they are going to run away with the AFC East. If the Jets had lost last night, the division would all but be over already. But they're still heavy front runners. Josh Allen's playing like an MVP. He's got 1 interception all season with 12 touchdowns. Meanwhile, the Dolphins look like they are in for what is a massive step backwards this year. They do have Tua back. It just hadn't made a big difference. He had a couple of games early in the year, and then the game he just played this weekend after coming back, where he isn't playing at his normal level. It seems like something's been solved about this Mike McDaniel offense.
Their season high in points was last week at 27. I'm not talking about Washington. This is the Miami Dolphins, for God's sakes.
And they still lost that game.
And they lost it. Absolutely, 100% right. There's something broken this year. I don't know what it is. If I was, you know, down there and studying it day in and day out, I'd be able to tell you better. But you just watch them. When the offense doesn't look like it's moving the ball the same way. They've still got those same incredibly fast pieces. They're still doing the cheap motion in space. The only thing I can think of is maybe somebody figured something out, and they seem to be easier to defend than they've ever been.
Drake May remains in concussion protocol, but he is participating in workouts at this point. That's a good sign that he could play as we head Dateline Tennessee. Patriots, Titans, New England coming off a win over the Jets, now 2-6. The Titans are 1-6. I mean, the only reason I would watch this game at all is if Drake May
it's
plays.
It's Drake May, man. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's football, so we only get so many of them, so you just kind of begrudgingly do it. But that would be the only thing that would interest me about this game between two of the worst teams in the AFC.
That is the picture right there. New England still stinks, even though they beat the Jets this past week. We all saw it. We all know what happened. But Tennessee is just broken at this stage. I think the sell-off is on its way. Tennessee, 3.5-point favorites at home in this one.
I don't understand that line.
I don't know if that reflects Drake May playing or not. I don't know. I don't know that anybody scores 3.5 points in this game. I'm being slightly facetious. Both are gross. I think I saw Tajay Spears, decent weapon, and Tennessee's not going to play. I don't know who they have, if anybody. That's worth the
how
darn.
Are you a 1-6 team and a 3.5-point home favorite?
You're playing a 2-6 team that should probably be 0-8. Maybe.
Should they be? I mean, they had a great game against the Bengals. I don't know. New England, to me, is a better football team. That line stinks, so I'll stay away, I guess. How about this? This is a fun game. Let's get into the 4 o'clock hour now on Sunday. Bears-Cardinals in Arizona. Chicago just lost on a Hail Mary, or they'd be 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's 4-4, tied for the lead in the NFC West. Both of these teams think they can make the playoffs. Chicago probably will. If I'm Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Bears, I got to win this game. If I lose to Arizona 4-4 on the road, and I've dropped back-to-back games now in Washington on a Hail Mary and to the Cardinals, who could have been under 500 with a loss, I'm now worried a little bit about my gig. This is shades of, like, 2000 Washington when they were still right around 500, and they fired Norv Turner at 7-6 with 3 to go. He is holding them back. There's no doubt in my mind, having just watched them up close and personal.
If I'm Matt Eberflus, I'm not a very good coach. But in addition to that, I'm looking at Arizona. And they're 4-4 in a division that's not very good. So you got a chance to kind of keep pace here, or sort of set the pace, if you will, in an NFC West that's really down. You don't apologize for the division being down. You take advantage of it. And they got a chance to do that against a Chicago team that's good but not great. They're beatable, as Washington just illustrated. So, you know, with a quarterback running around, making some plays, you have Harrison, you have McBride, you've got James Conner to kind of ground and pound a little bit. If you keep this, you know, a little bit of a muck fest, you got a chance to win that one, I think.
Jaguars, Eagles in Philly. Jacksonville is 2-6. Head coach Doug Peterson goes back to Philly, where he was the head coach when he won a Super Bowl, taking on a 5-2 Eagles team. Now, I've been saying for much of the year that I wasn't sold on Philly. They may have just gotten through the rough part of their season, though, and lucked their way into a 5-2 record, and maybe it won't matter down the road how good they are. Because things are lightening up for them some.
Yep.
They got a chance. They really should be 6-2. If they win and Washington doesn't take care of its business against the Giants, the Commanders will be looking up at a team in the NFC East for the first time since week 2.
Yeah, I am sold on Philly. And part of that is past track record. They got through all the turmoil, all the injuries of the early season. I think now they're in that soft underbelly of the schedule. They've won their combined previous two games 65-20. They have outscored people. They are now starting to hit the ground running, and Jacksonville stinks. I expect them to roll in this game.
Jalen Hurts is playing way better.
Yeah.
28 and 37 points, as you mentioned, the last 2 weeks. Best game of the weekend on paper. It's not that close. 425 kick at Lambeau Field. What an environment it'll be. Not yet freezing cold, beautiful Green Bay day. Lions, Packers. NFC North top spot on the line. Detroit is 6-1. They are not only the best team in the conference, but Jared Goff has played his way with limited turnovers into MVP consideration. I have a hard time with that because last week he threw for like 9 yards and they scored 50 points. That tells me he's got a lot around him on all phases, all sides of the ball. But Green Bay, 6-2. Jordan Love is expected to play. That is the national TV game on Fox. That's Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady on the call from Lambeau.
So Jordan Love's been banged up all week. Left last week's game with a groin situation. And I saw, by the way, footage of him limited at practice yesterday. freezing rain in Green Bay during the week of practice, and of course they're outside. They don't do the dome. They do the Green Bay bit where we're Green Bang, frozen tundra, Lambeau Field, hone on your
as well. They should, by the way.
Yeah, it's supposed to be decent enough this weekend, I think, looking at the weather. But this is a big one for both teams. I mean, Detroit has been unbelievable on offense over the last, I'd say, month plus. They've been good throughout the season, but this past month, it's been a gong show. It's like, which trick play am I going to try today to put us up 30, said Johnson, Ben. They have been really, really good. Defensively, they're not anywhere near good enough, I think, to overcome a bad offensive game just because they miss Aiden Hutchinson so bad. But Green Bay's this under-the-radar complete football team. They found a way to get by in a couple of games when Jordan Love was injured and left this past week against Jacksonville, sort of escaped there with a win. But Green Bay's better than people think, and Detroit is really, really good. This is the game of the weekend.
Really, really good game in the NFC West between a Rams team that's better than its record, 3-4, but back-to-back wins, including a primetime 10-point dominant victory in a lot of ways over the Minnesota Vikings. They play in Seattle against the Seahawks. Seattle's just a much better team at home. They're 4-4 on the year. If they can win, they'd be the first team to 5 victories in the NFC West, and they'd be in a really good situation, I'd say, going forward to try to make the postseason. I'm all eyes on the Rams right now. Matt Stafford's healthy. They've got their receivers, Nacua and Kupp, back. Sean McVay has figured some things out on that defense. Aaron Donald retired. They drafted Brandon Fisk out of Florida State. They drafted Jared Verse, who's his running mate at defensive end, who might be the best young defensive lineman now in the league already as a rookie. I'm kind of getting in on the Rams. I would buy in on them as a playoff contender, and you could probably get them at really good value right now at a sportsbook.
And so remember, they started off last year pretty terribly, ripped off a whole bunch straight, and were a playoff team. You get some injuries, you're dealing with it. Now, Puka Nacua is on the injury report, hurt it this week, not last weekend, this week. So he's on the injury report. I think he's going to play, but I haven't seen any kind of confirmation to that end. But you're 100% right. They get those guys back, and it's weird. You get two really good receivers back, and your offense is better. There's a correlation there, if I can only figure out what it is exactly. But, again, they're in it because no one in that division has done anything positive at this point. It's a bunch of 4-4 teams, and the Rams are 3-4. That is a huge matchup that I didn't know was coming as of a couple weeks ago.
Let's take a look at the game that was flexed into Sunday Night Football, the Colts and the Vikings. This was supposed to have been a 1 o'clock regional telecast out of Minnesota. Instead, you're going to get Tirico and Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. The 4-4 Colts are benching Anthony Richardson, both because he struggled, but also because, I think, he pulled himself out of the game being tired and then admitted it publicly. Mm. I don't know what's worse, asking out of the game because you're fatigued? Cardiovascular endurance much? I remember covering that with Mike Shanahan and Donovan McNabb. Or doing that and then telling everyone at the podium, oh, I wasn't hurt, don't worry, I was just tired. I've been running around a lot. That is a tough look for a starting quarterback. He's now a backup, had a 30-minute sit-down today with Shane Steichen, Chris Ballard, the coach and the GM. They've gone back to Joe Flacco, who they've had their best offensive games with. And this makes this a much more interesting football game.
That's right.
They got a chance to get over 500 and back in the playoff mix. Minnesota, don't look now, they've lost 2 in a row. They've had a bye week in there as well, so it's been a while since they've won after their 5-0 start. They need to stop the bleeding here. They need Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson to get it going and help out Brian Flores' defense, which, by the way, at least for 1 week, the Rams solved last week.
Well, 2 straight weeks now, because Detroit, who's great on offense on that side of the ball, 31 points against them, but your point stands. All of a sudden, they've been vulnerable. Remember, they were the darlings of the league through 6 weeks. They had their bye week, and everyone was talking about Minnesota. Now they're in third place in that buzzsaw of a division, which is incredible, by the way. So, yeah, that's a massive one for Minnesota, A, to keep pace with the two teams they're looking up at. Somebody's going to lose that game, you would think, between Detroit and Green Bay, unless they tie, which ties suck, and there should never be ties in sports. Fix that immediately. But for the Colts, we're not that far out of the playoff race right now. The bottom of the AFC, and it's a large bottom, so to speak. Cue that Ryan Sounder, here's my big butt. There's a whole bunch of bad teams below Indianapolis. They don't have to climb over too many bodies to be in the postseason. I get why they're making this move. They're pretty decent everywhere, and they got a shot here. So this is a big one for both teams.
Finally, on Monday Night Football, the Bucs and the Chiefs. Tampa Bay is now 4-4. They just lost the tiebreaker in the division to the Falcons, who they are multiple games behind as well. They've lost twice to Atlanta over the last month, including last weekend. Their defense has given up over 70 points in the last 2 weeks. Baker Mayfield has thrown, I believe, 4 interceptions in the last two games. Tampa Bay, without Evans, without Godwin, against a 7-0 Chiefs team. Now, the betting line in this is pretty big. I think I saw it at 8.5 a day or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kansas City's offense is good enough to cover 8.5 against anybody, but I know that the Bucs defense is terrible. You got Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce on the other side. I think I like Tampa in points, but Kansas City is going to be 8-0 when the dust settles on Monday night.
With all due respect to Sir Mix-a-Lot, 36, 27, 41, 31, those are not measurements. Those are the point totals that Tampa Bay has allowed over the last several weeks. Now, I know they've been turning it over some, but they're slinging it around. Baker Mayfield leads the league in tutties and interceptions. He's actually been really impressive. He's grown on me to a degree. I was so tired of his act in previous stops. I think he's matured, and he's been really good, frankly, in Tampa, even without his two best weapons. So all of a sudden, as you said, their defense is really struggling. I just don't know if Kansas City's offense can take advantage of that at this point. I'm fascinated by this matchup. I seem to maybe be in the minority on it, but I think it's going to be a close game this weekend. I think you touched on that.
Bye weeks this week for the Steelers and the 49ers. Pittsburgh, I don't trust them, but they're 6-2. Mike Tomlin does this. His teams are always going to have winning records.
Doubt him at your peril.
And if his defenses are really good, which generally they are, they're probably going to make the playoffs. Russell Wilson's cooked, too. He's been strong the last couple of weeks as their starter. Seems like a good decision by Tomlin. 49ers are just 4-4, 500, middling in the NFC West, you would think, except that that's leading the division at this point.
Tied for first.
So those two teams will sit idle and watch their peers. A lot on the line, though, in the West, as we mentioned, with Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle all at 4-4, and the Rams at 3-4. So there you go, your full slate of games for week 9 in the NFL. You're locked into Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We are live for our Friday field trip series, as it is a Football Friday on G&D. We are at Fairfax Corner, where we're broadcasting live from Craft House in Fairfax. As you get out of the office, come on down. We'll be here until 6:30 kicking it. I think Metal Chris is eating some wings. Darius, Danny, and myself have been enjoying some food and beverages all day.
Those wings are impressive. It's like, I mean, I know they're chicken wings. They look like pterodactyl wings.
They're the wings with the huge tails. It comes as one piece where you've got the giant drum with the wing with, like, that, what do you call that thing? Like the part you hold.
I don't even know. But you know when you see it, right? They're enormous
wings. It's like a three-piece wing. It's like the chicken, the wing that you eat, and then the part that you hold that you don't eat.
Yeah, the whole deal. It's like a bone
and
ribeye.
It's like the handle of the wing.
Yeah, it's a bone and ribeye except with a chicken wing. The food is delicious.
I'm going to eat one of Metal Chris's. I just want to make sure they're okay for you.
It's a quality control issue. I'm with you. I get it.
He's important to the program. We need to make sure nothing happens to him.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
The royal tester. You got to do that.
G&D live from Craft House Fairfax with you throughout the afternoon. Next, are the Commanders above referendum status? Meaning, if they play badly against the Giants, should this not be they're not that good? Instead, it should just be, wow, the Giants beat the really good Commanders? Are we already there? Have we arrived to that level as a team yet? That's next on The Fan.